No kidding. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this morning's Sunday School. We're going to have a good day today. Amen. Your other left. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy, chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Wait for Chuck to get there. Hope everybody's had a good weekend. I know I was very warm yesterday. Man, I'll tell you what, that heat yesterday was crazy. When we left here from men's breakfast, I mean, I took off and I'm thinking to myself, it is just bitterly, bitterly, bitterly hot out here. And I looked at the temperature on the car and it was 110 already. And I'm thinking, man alive, this is going to be nuts. Well, then they got up to 115 in Phoenix, and I'm thinking, wow. So, but today it's not supposed to be a whole lot better, and neither is it tomorrow. But then coming up on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, it's supposed to cool down a little bit. Morning, Molly. How are you today? Good. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. You got her there, Chuck? All right. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for Sunday School. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done here this morning. It'll be for your honor and your glory. We love you. Thank you for what you've done for us this week. I pray now that you'll be with us. With this Sunday School lesson, we might get something out of it, and we'll say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. We give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Paul starts out, now the Spirit speaketh expressively. You know, this next statement did not come from Paul. I want you to understand that. Now, Paul is writing to who? He's writing to Timothy, isn't he? It's a letter. And this is where inspiration comes in. You know, there's an awful lot of people who say, well, you know, Paul's letters should not have been canonized into the Bible, you know, because they were letters. They were letters from one person to another. But if you take and you look at what is said in this letter to Timothy, you'll see that everything that is said is from the Holy Spirit, and it's inspired. It's God-breathed. You know, he starts out, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. You know, this next statement did not come from Paul, but it came from the Holy Spirit. In the day of the early church, before the Bible was printed, the early Christians received their inspiration directly from the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. We need to understand when Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, it came from the Holy Spirit. Mark, Luke, John, Paul penned out Acts, it came from the Holy Spirit. All of them came from the Holy Spirit. It was not something that they just came up with themselves. You know, this is how the Bible needed to be penned out. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 15 and 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is not by the writing of man, but it is by the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that the Bible was, yeah, it was written by man. And this is where so many people have a problem. They say, well, all 66 chapters were written by a man. Okay, how would they have been written by God if man wouldn't have penned them out? You know, fine, God wrote the Ten Commandments on stone, but can you imagine carrying around 66 books in stone? I mean, you know, it'd be an impossibility. You'd have to have a tractor trailer in order to get everything written or carried by stone that God would pen out with his finger. But God said, now I want men to take and pen this out so that other men will have it in future generation. Now, here we see that all Scripture, it isn't just some of it, it isn't just part of it, it's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that everything that was written in the Bible was given by God to man to write down. Now, we want to take in, notice the word expressively. This means plainly. Paul wanted young Timothy to know that the Holy Spirit had told him these things so plainly that it has to be done a certain way. Now, the Holy Spirit could have told Paul that, okay, this is the way this has to be done, and you have to have this and this and this and this, where no man could have done it. But he did it expressively to where anyone could do it. Now, let me ask you something. Who can be saved? Anybody. For all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The whosoever is everybody. What we need to realize is Paul is, in his writings, is writing to everybody in a way that they can understand what the writing is about. You know, if he would have written in words that are 15 miles long, you know, nobody would be able to understand what they were. But he did it. He did it expressively so that everybody could understand what was being told. He says that in the latter days. Now, this is talking about the days that we're living today. And we need to understand that. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 9, we went through those last Sunday morning in church. I had a message on them. But it says in verses 1 through 9, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. You know, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, Paul did not know if the Lord would return in his lifetime or if he would return in some latter day. Now, however, he knew what was going to happen before the coming of the Lord in the rapture, or the second coming of the Lord. He knew what was going to happen because God revealed it to him. He knew that these things were going to take place. He knew that these things were going to happen. He knew that men were going to be retrobates. He knew that men were going to have a form of religion. He knew that people would come to church on Sunday morning and say, well, that's good enough. I don't have to come Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't have to read my Bible. Don't have to pray. Paul knew all of that. What times are we living in today? Are we living in that time? You know, when I grew up, when I was younger, I don't care who you were, I don't care what religion you were, Sunday was for going to church. There's a lot of churches that had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It didn't matter what religion you were. And you know what? Everybody was in church. But that isn't the way it is today. You know, back when I was growing up, there wasn't anything open. You know, the stores were closed. The only thing that was open was church. People went to church. And they didn't have just a form of godliness. They knew who God was. You know, Paul didn't realize that this was all going to come about sometime later in life. You know, the Holy Spirit had told him all this would come to pass before the end would come. The Spirit spoke to him plainly about what was going to happen. You know, this was not going to be some high finagled thing that Paul came up with. You know, it wasn't some idea that Paul had. It wasn't something that Paul said, well, you know what? Someday these people are going to be really, really bad. Someday they're going to take and have a form of godliness, and it's not going to be. Now, I don't know if you saw last night, they had the rioters burned a restaurant, and then they started going after houses. And there was four of them that were up on top of this house trying to break into a bedroom window up above. And for some reason, there just happened to be a 12-gauge shotgun in there that blew two of them right off the roof. And the other two decided that maybe, just maybe, this may not be the right thing to do. You know, maybe we're doing something wrong. And they went to the police, and they told the police, you have to do something. The police says, no, we're not working for you. We're not working for you. You don't want us. Guess what? We're not working for you. And they did absolutely nothing to the landowner. Nothing. In fact, they didn't even investigate it. I mean, it's great. You know, I think it's fantastic. You know, it's about time that people take the law into their own hands, because the law is not out there for us right now. It isn't. I don't care who you talk to. It's that way. You know, we as Americans are in this situation that Paul is talking about. We have a lawless society. Lawless society. And it's going to be up to us to take care of us. You know, some shall depart from the faith. You know, they'll no longer preach the gospel message of salvation. They will preach a social gospel. They will draw many away from the truth and will seduce them into believing that it's not important to follow after the teaching of the Word of God. They will use man's philosophy instead of using God's Word. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this, but there's an awful lot of that going on today, isn't there? I mean, I look at Joel Osteen, I look at Parsley, and I look at all these guys that have these huge, huge churches of thousands and thousands of people that, number one, they're not getting fed the Word of God. Number two, there's no conviction. Number three, the people are not getting saved. What's going to happen to them at the judgment? What's going to happen to the people at the judgment? What's going to happen to all these thousands of people who are going to stand before God? And I can see it now. Here's Joel seen standing before God, standing before the Lord. He says, well, didn't I not prophesy in your name? Didn't I preach in your name? What God going to say to him? Depart from me, ye work of iniquity, for I knew you not. You know, look at the thousands of people that he's leading astray. Oh, you know what? They have a motivational talk on Sunday morning. They don't have Sunday evening service. They don't have Wednesday evening service. You know, what we need to realize is people need to be taught the Word of God. You know, but you know, people do not want to know what they're doing is wrong. They don't. You know, you look at these rioters and stuff, you walk up to them and say, are you doing what's right? Yeah, I'm doing what's right. I'm not doing wrong. I mean, they're stupid. They're dumb. They really are. You know, what we need to realize is this, is that we are in the end times, people. We are. You know, the Bible says in the end days, that which is right will be wrong, and that which is wrong will be right. Isn't that what's happening today? I mean, you can go out and burn somebody else's house down, you can go out and burn their business down. It's okay. There's no repercussions. But if you stand up and preach the word of God, then government's going to say, no, you can't do that because of the pandemic. You can't preach God's word. That which is right will be wrong, and that which is wrong will be right. You know, I'll tell you, it never ceases to amaze me how people would sooner listen to a motivational talk instead of hearing a soul-stirring message and being convicted about what God says. You know, I saw something the other day, I don't know if it was on Facebook or Twitter, but this is what it said. It said, people today would rather hear a tickle-my-ear message than to go in and hear, thus saith the Lord, and you get convicted to where you're at the altar. I mean, that's not what people want to hear today. People don't want to hear the things that they're doing wrong are wrong or sin. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear, oh, everything's all right in my Father's house. It's not right now. It's not all right. And we need to realize that we need to get back on track. You know, they're a lot sooner listen to somebody just get up and give all kinds of stories and fables and things like that than to be steered towards the Word of God and hear what God's Word says. You know, they'll have the church, you know, they want the church to become what they want as a guilt-free place rather than a convicting place. I saw something from Alan Domley the other day. He went and he had written in there about their last Sunday service. And he said that they had 20 visitors. Of the 20 visitors, 19 of them got saved. Why? Because they came in, they got convicted of their sins, and they got saved. They didn't hear a tickle-me-good-feel message. They heard, thus saith the Lord, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, everyone needs to get saved the same way. And that's what we need in our churches today. You know, there's an awful lot of people who will say, well, you know what? I'm going to church shop. I'm going to find a church that fits my lifestyle. There's an awful lot of people who do that. You know, there's an awful lot of people who will take and go to a church and say, well, you know what? I'm going to go to this church because they think that social drinking is fine. I'm going to go to this church because nothing's ever said about adultery. I'm going to go to this church because nothing's ever said about tithing. I'm going to go to this church because the preacher does not holler and shout and yell and scream about what we're doing is wrong. You know, people will church shop until they can find something that fits their fancy. And believe me, there's an awful lot of churches out there that do just that. They will take and they will preach to the masses, I call it, because they don't want to preach the Bible the way it's supposed to be preached. You know, how can a person get saved if they're not convicted by the Holy Spirit that they're a sinner? How can a person get saved if they can't understand that they have a lost condition and are headed straight to hell? You know, there's no way a person can take and get found unless they're lost. And they have to be shown that they're lost. But then he goes on to say, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, Satan is placing in the minds of those he can false doctrines, putting into the minds of millions the false feeling of security. He's using the so-called preachers of what they call the gospel to draw many away from the truth of the Bible. Now, one of Joel Osteen's big things is this. If you live a good life, you're going to spend it in heaven. You will get to heaven if you spend and work on a good life. We need to realize that we have to have a good life in order to take and get to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, for all of sin come short of the glory of God. The only way we're going to take and get to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. You know, we need to realize 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, it says this. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also to be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you need to. Because I'll tell you what, that's exactly what's happening. You know, people say, well, I don't know what you're talking about as far as false teachers, as far as false preachers. Listen, if Satan himself can turn himself into an angel of light, being a false Christ, do you think maybe his fallen angels can turn themselves into a false preacher? Stand behind the pulpit and give an inspirational talk on a Sunday morning and lead people away from the Word of God, lead them away from salvation. There's nothing that Satan wants more than to lead people away from God's Word. Nothing. And he does it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You know, the only good thing that's happened with this pandemic? A lot of these false churches haven't opened up yet. A lot of the false churches haven't opened up yet. Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches have, but the false preachers are not behind the pulpit right now because they feel that maybe they'll get the pandemic. You know, and they don't want to get the pandemic, so they're going to hide in their basements and they're not going to take and come out. Sounds like one of our presidential candidates. I'm sorry. But listen, Eve was seduced by an evil spirit. She was seduced by Satan himself. You know, look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, we know the story, don't we? We know the story how Eve took of the forbidden fruit, and she ate of it, and then she gave it to Adam, and Adam ate of it. What happened there? What happened? Didn't God say, don't touch it? But yet they still did. Why? Because they would rather follow the devil than they would God. You know, I have no idea. I wasn't in the Garden of Eden, but I can see what's going through Eve's mind. She's looking at the fruit. She's going, wow, that does look like it's good. It does look like it would be good to eat. It does look like, you know what, a person, eat of that, and you could be fulfilled. After all, I am hungry. I am hungry. And as long as I'm hungry, maybe I should just take it and just look at it a little closer. So she picked it, and she's looking at it, and she goes, there's no wormholes in it. It must be okay to eat. So she takes a bite of it, and then she gives it to Adam. You know, it's amazing how women share things, amen? You know, just think what would have happened if the Corolla virus would have been back then. You know, Adam probably wouldn't have eaten of it. After all, he wouldn't want to get the Corolla virus. You know what I mean? But, you know, we need to take a look at the doctrine of devils for just a minute. They're destructive to the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the truth of some. Here we see that it's destructive to the faith. There will be those that will say, hey, you know what? The rapture's already happened and you are left behind. There were many that did that back in the early 1900s. Said, you know what? The rapture's over and you are left behind. Well, let's see. From the early 1900s until now, there's been a whole lot of 7 years. Amen? And they haven't all been tribulation. Second thing is this. They're hateful to God. Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. You know, there's going to be an awful lot of people who hate God. Isn't that what's going on today? The burning of the Bibles, burning of the American flag. I mean, they don't want to have anything to do whatsoever with God. They don't want to have anything to do with the Bible. They don't want to have anything to do with what's going on. What we need to realize is this. We need to realize that, hey, we're in these days right now, folks. We are. We're in the days that Paul was talking about when he wrote this letter to Timothy. Then it goes on, be a stumbling block to the believers. Titus chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving among the law. For they are unprofitable and vain. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, it says, be not carried away with divers strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. You know, take a look at what he's saying here. He's saying, you know what? There's an awful lot of people who are becoming stumbling blocks to other people. They are actually taking them away from the truth. They're taking them away from the Word of God. They're taking them away from what God has said. They're taking them away from the Bible, taking them away from church, taking them away from things that we need to realize are profitable for our life. You know, look what it says in verse 9 again. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Listen, if you hear something that is contrary to the Word of God, it's what? False doctrine. It's false doctrine. But you know what? People can take and make it sound good. They can make it sound like it's out of the Bible. There was a group that came around my house here a while back, and they were using certain scripture out of the Bible, out of context. Well, knowing the Bible like I do, I said to him, I said, do you mind if we take a look at that verse in context? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, you're using that verse for something that it's not. He goes, no, I'm not. I said, let me see your Bible a minute. So he showed it to me. I went four verses above it and four verses below it. Now, I said, now tell me what that verse means. He says, well, he says, that isn't what they told me it means. I said, well, I don't care, but that's what it means. They're being carried away by false doctrine. People are taking the Bible and they're ripping certain things out. They're not using certain things. I mean, there are Bibles out there today that have taken the blood out. They've taken the genders out. There's a lot of things that are removed from the Bible that are so very important. What are they? They're false doctrines. They cause divisions in the church. Romans 16, 17, and 18 says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What's happening there? There are false teachers, false preachers, false prophets, so to speak, that are getting in and they're taking the newborn babes in Christ, the ones who have just gotten saved, and they're giving them false doctrines, leading them away from what they should have. You know, what we need to realize is that there's so many people out there today that would sooner see a person go to hell than to heaven. And we need to understand that it's our job to take and disciple those who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If we don't, I guarantee that they're going to be carried away. The next thing is this. It will prohibit the gospel from being preached. It will prohibit the gospel from being preached. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Jesus Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ. Wow. You know, when Paul was writing to the Galatians, he said to him, he says, you know what? He says, I am really surprised at you. I marvel. He says, I'm surprised that you are taken so soon away from the doctrines that I taught you. I am so surprised that you went back to what you used to do. I'm so surprised that you brought in false teaching into the church. He says, what's wrong with you people? Didn't you learn what you were taught? Yeah, listen, that's what's happening today. People come to church, people come to Sunday school, they come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you know what? They leave and they forget what they're just taught. You know, what we need to realize is this, is we need to grasp on to the doctrines that we have out of the Word of God. Not only that, but then they teach heresy concerning the gospel message. Jude chapter 1, verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoa. What's Paul saying to Jude there? Or what Jude's saying, I should say, not Paul. He's saying what? There's going to be people who are going to take what? Creep in to the churches unaware. And they're going to lead people astray. You know, they're going to come in and say, hey, I know the Bible real well. I want to teach Sunday school class. I know the Bible real well. I want to take and I want to be a tug leader. You know, I know the Bible. I want to take and I want to do devotions at men's breakfast. But what's going to happen is they're going to lead people away from the Word of God. Why? Because they don't know it themselves. They don't know it, so what they'll use just the social gospel to lead people away from the true knowledge of Christ. And then to confound the preaching of the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 3 and 4, it says this. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmising. Whoa. Look at that. If anybody teach any other doctrine. You know, I'll tell you what. I feel sorry for a lot of these people who are teaching false doctrines. You know, because one day, very soon, we're going to stand before an almighty God and we're going to be judged. And I can see it now. A lot of these people are going to be standing before the Lord Jesus, are going to be standing there and they're going to go, but Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not heal in your name? And what's Jesus going to say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. I'll tell you what, that's going to be a sad day. It is. What didn't they do? They didn't preach the doctrines of the Bible. They didn't preach Christ died, Christ buried, Christ rose again the third day according to Scripture. They didn't preach, for we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That there's a way, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. They didn't preach, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they did not preach, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They didn't preach that. Why? Because they wanted to preach a social gospel. I'm good, you're good, we're all going to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. It's not doctrine. It's false doctrine. And what we need to realize is we as Christians have got to be so careful of what we listen to, what we read, and what we watch. You know, there's an awful lot of false preachers out there right now, especially now with everybody on the internet, with live streaming and all this. I happened to turn one on the other night, and I was on the computer, and I was looking for something, and I came across this guy. And I thought, I'll listen to him for a little bit. So I did for about 5 minutes, and then I shut it off. I'm thinking to myself, how can anybody teach such falsehoods? You know, what we need to realize is this. We need to be so careful what we listen to and what we read. I had somebody talking to the other day, and they said, well, have you ever read such and such? I said, no, I haven't. Oh, you need to read that. It is so good. I said, well, what's so good about it? Well, he has some really good insight into what he feels the Bible says. I said, what he feels the Bible says? He goes, yeah. He has a lot of good insight into what he feels the Bible says. Well, I said, I don't feel what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. And I said, that's what I preach. That's what we're supposed to preach, what the Bible says. And if we do, I guarantee that we're going to take and preach the right doctrine. You know, that's what Paul was in this first verse. I wanted to get through another verse, but we don't have time. But if you take any look at what Paul said to Timothy, just in that first verse, there's an awful lot in it. an awful lot. And we need to realize that Paul is telling him exactly what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll guide and direct in the morning service. We thank you so much for loving us. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start church in about 10 minutes.